So, seventh chapter. As we talked about it a few verses before, Krishna says that that the two prakriti, para prakriti and apara prakriti, isn't it? Bhumi apanalo vayu kham mano buddhi revacha ahankara idiyame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. That is these eight things which makes the Abhara Prakriti. Then Krishna says, Abhareya midastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabodham mahabaho edam dharyade jagat. That para prakriti, which is jiva, the living entity, he also, Abhareya midastvanyam prakritim vidhime param prakriti jivabodham. Jivabodham is para prakriti, superior to the Abhara Prakriti. And that jiva state, edam dharyade jagat, that is sustaining this universe, Krishna is saying there. So after that, Krishna said another important verse, isn't it? What was that? Matta paradaram na anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvavidam prodam sutre manigana iva. That was the next verse, verse number 7, isn't it? Yeah, verse number 7. That is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Matta paradaram na anyat kinchid asti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam prodam sutre manigana iva. So we're discussing that last Wednesday, didn't we? We talked about that. We saw that why there is so much difficulty in realizing the truth. That's what we're talking about. That if you remember, that the Krishna is saying to us, particularly using that word dhananjaya there. That's what I was referring to, isn't it? So that Dhananjaya word, Krishna said also that our attention, Shraddha, is in the wealth in this world. Is in the wealth in this world. We talk about so many things in spiritual life, but attention is still very much on the Shraddha or Bhakti. Or bhakti is towards the money. Bhakti is towards the money. Bhakti is there. Nobody is denying we don't have bhakti. But it's at the wrong place. That's only problem. So we also talked about this, and we're mentioning that with the advent of this currency and money, bank money, people have got so much faith in that, isn't it? We are talking about everyone, generally in this world, ordinary people, that our faith is in that money, and that is our bhakti towards that money. It's our that is bhakti. Bhakti is to be understood like that. Bhakti is not only for Krishna. Bhakti is there in everybody. But only thing is, it's at the wrong place the bhakti is. Bhakti is at the wrong place. So here, the question is that, what I was saying before also, that somewhere unknowingly inside us, it is some realization in everyone, the importance of money, isn't it? Importance of money. We have understood that if there is no money in this world, it will be very difficult. Very difficult. And why did this faith in money develop like this for us? What was the reason behind it? The reason is that two things. One, we think that money will bring happiness in this life. Money will bring happiness. And another second thing is, money will also tell us that some fear in us about material existence. That fear will go when there is money in the hand. When there is money in the hand. So freedom from fear and freedom and also this desire for happiness, this we want in life. And we have a feeling that it will come from money. Therefore we have bhakti towards money. And therefore we install the deity in the temple. We worship the deity in the temple. We worship deities at home also. But as far as we are concerned, strictly, as far as we are concerned, this deity in the temple and deity at home is all false. It's all false. We go to the temple and we worship the deity at home, but behind that, in a very subtle level, we are expecting money, because we feel money is that what will protect us. We haven't got that stage yet that Krishna will protect us or Krishna will take the fear away from us. The fear is still very much there. So, at the moment, our deity is these notes, banknotes. Because that's what we... Bhakti is there in the banknotes or credit card or the checkbook or whatever. That's where our real bhakti is there at the moment. It's not in the deity, not in Krishna, not in the Shastram. We will say all these things. But in fact, reality, the bhakti is there at the wrong places. So, our actual temple is the bank. And the deity is the notes. Notes there. That's where all the faith is at. But why is that? That is the illusion we are inside, in us. And all of us have that illusion in us. That this will protect me. This will protect me. So, when we realize that this is an illusion, when we realize that this is an illusion, so, and Brahmam. Brahmam means this misapprehensions or misunderstanding that that happiness and freedom from fear will only come from self-realization. Only at that time, this enthusiasm what we are showing now for making money and acquiring wealth will leave us, and self-realization will happen to us at that point. At that point it will happen to us. It cannot happen otherwise. And also, the intense desire for self-realization will develop in a person at that point. At that point. Otherwise it cannot happen. No matter if we keep on talking about this year after year after year, about self-realization, about renunciation, knowledge, bhakti and all that, nothing will happen till inside each one of us we realize it that currently the bhakti what I have is not towards Krishna, rather towards money or rather towards other things in this world, which I feel is my real shelter. I have not taken Krishna as the real shelter yet. So till that happens, self-realization also won't happen. This is the point Krishna is making there through that word Dhananjaya. Krishna is saying there that Arjuna, you are a very capable person. You wanted to acquire wealth, isn't it? It's for the wealth that they were fighting. Kauravas and the Pandavas were fighting for what? For wealth. That they wanted the property, acquire this, they wanted the ownership of the kingdom. Pandavas were saying, we need half of it, you can have the half. They said, no, five houses, no, one house, no, even for needle, to put a needle, you won't give the place, Kauravas were saying. So it's all centered around property, isn't it? And Arjuna was decided to fight the war at the end, and the Pandavas decided to go for war at the moment as the option. It's all for property, wealth, isn't it? So, what comes to here is, Krishna is saying here, Edad yonini bhudani sarvani iti upadharaya. That is that verse. Edad yonini bhudani sarvani. Whatever you are seeing in this creation, Krishna is saying here, whether it is abhara prakriti or it's the form of para prakriti, whatever that is manifested here, sarvani iti upadharaya. Krishna says it has come from that one source. What is that? The soul. That's where it has all come. Brahmam. In other words, used as Brahmam. Sarvani upadharaya. Aham krishnasya jagada prabhava pralayastada. Know that this one thing, Arjuna, that aham krishnasya jagada, it includes everything, that aham. Aham is what? Aham is the soul. Soul, aham, Krishna, it's all titled in different names. But what exists is that one substance, Brahmam. That is that one thing. Aham krishnasya jagada, it includes everything. Prabhava pralayastada. That's where it has come and that's where it will go back also, everything. See, right at this moment, because we have no realization as it is of all these things what Krishna is saying, we will study Bhagavad Gita, we will read Bhagavatam, and but still we think we need money in this world to live, isn't it? That's how we will look at it. We need the job, we need the money, we need the bank balance, we need the house, everything. So what's happening there? Inside we are separating it out. Krishna is saying, don't separate it. The source from which all these things have come is one. Is one. That source is one. Aham Krishnasya Jagada. Aham Krishna addressed in this word. Aham Krishnasya Jagada. That's me, he says. What's that me? It's that akhandam. Akhandam means unbreakable, uninterrupted consciousness. That's what that is aham refers to there. From where everything has come. If you don't take it like that, it will be very difficult to understand many verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Always that source from where everything has come. Krishna says aham, aham, aham in many places. If you just start seeing, thinking it is that person who is Krishna has manufactured in the factory everything and send it off like this, that's not how to take it. We have to see aham Krishna se jagada means aham is referring to that source, akhandam it is. Satya Chitta Anandam, it's the nature of the soul, isn't it? Akhanda means akhanda anandam, it's called happiness and Brahma self realization of that truth. That truth from there everything is coming. Everything is coming from that source. That source, Brahmam, in another place it's referred to as Brahmam. So, Brahmam is, from Brahmam everything has come. In Brahmam it stays and in Brahmam it will dissolve everything. So, factually, what survives is only Brahmam alone exists in this creation. What exists in this whole thing, it's only Brahmam, nothing else exists. That is a fact. But in our life in this world, we will accept things always in a separated. Who did this separation? Intelligence has done that separation already in us, isn't it? And that is why this fear, all this existence and of the happiness in this world is very much dependent on matter still. Is dependent on matter still, isn't it? So, the Krishna is saying here, Edad yonini bhudani sarvani iti ubhadharaya. That the yoni of all these things, the bijam, or sorry, the source of everything is aham. I am that source. Krishnasya jagada. And it includes everything. Not only this jagat creation, what you have seen, prabhava pralayastada. Origin, the where it was born, and it will pralayam also, the dissolution also will happen into that. Into that it will happen. So this is a concept. Concept means it's actually, don't know how to say this, that when realization happens, you know Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Brahmam is only truth. This is a mithya or falsity that is present in front of us in the form of this world, in form of these different names and forms, Nama Rupam. Asti Bhadi Priyam Namam Rupam. Five things. Out of that, Nama Rupam is the one which is changing. Asti Bhadi Priyam doesn't change. So, when talking about the soul and the soul's characteristics, all these things are spoken to make people understand that this absolute truth, what Krishna is referring in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the very nature of that soul is that it's always Purnam. It's complete, always, isn't it? It's always complete in itself. So, for a complete thing, so many things have come out. And everything that has come out is also complete, and it will go back to the complete again, as we saw in the Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad is saying all those things, isn't it? So, here, so today, why are we getting attracted to all these things in this world? That question is always there. It's no point in saying that I should not get attracted to all these things. It's no point in saying that. Because inside these two things of fear and happiness, two things will forcefully go after them. We have not come out of the body yet. Body is still
very much an influence of. So just by knowing theoretically is not good enough. Is not good enough. Only I'll continue to follow behind these things in this world till I get the realization that happiness is in the soul, not in the body. Happiness is in the, not in the soul, but not in the body, but is in the soul. Now, jnanis go in one direction. They, by vijaram, by reflection, they come to that conclusion and they can stay in that state. But it is a very tough process. It's not an easy process. So, we have got only these two options. When you study 15th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this. That we have got these two options in front of us. Either through reflection and through jnanamargam, you can reach that state of. But it's a difficult process, because you can see every time you try to do it, you will see very quickly something happens and you fall from that state. The other one is what Krishna says here, Sharanagati, surrender. Isn't it? Surrender, he says. That prapatti, prapatti is the word used in the Bhagavad Gita, prapatti. Some places Krishna says surrender, Sharanagati, he says. So Krishna says, easiest process he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita is first to know whom to surrender, isn't it? Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. I am present in everyone's heart as a soul. Surrender unto him, he says. It's me who is present in everyone's heart as the soul. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. And Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Mayaya. Maya, what she does is, puts everybody in the giant wheel of karma. That's like a giant wheel, isn't it? We have come here buying a ticket. The ticket. Like in the giant wheel, you buy a ticket and go and sit there, isn't it? And you sit on the giant wheel, and when the giant wheel starts rotating, you want to come out. You don't want to stay in that, isn't it? You don't want to stay in the wheel. But you can't do anything. If you tell the man who started the machine, can you stop it, let me get out, he won't stop it. He says, you're paid for it, you should sit on it. There's no choice. I don't know whether you had this experience. I had that experience, that's why I'm saying this. I went to this Alton Towers once. And everybody was sitting on that pirate ship. You know, one goes like this and like this, yeah. And it was many years ago, 20, 25 years ago. Felt like sitting on that, because everybody was, I'll take a chance and go and sit there. Only one moment was sufficient in one direction. And all that what you have eaten in the morning started coming out. And the next trip it goes the other way. It stays there for a while and then comes back again this way, few times back and forth. So, you want to come out of it, you just had enough, that why you paid money for that, to get this misery, you're thinking like that, isn't it? It's only then somebody is sitting next to you is telling you, only yesterday accident happened, somebody was thrown out of it, he says to you. So, when you heard that also, then you said, what a fool I am. I was thinking like that. What a fool I am to do this thing. So, but you can't do anything else. The man has started the machine and he is gone. And it will stop automatically, then you can come out after that. But I know most of the people, some young boys and girls were enjoying. They were laughing and making a lot of noise. Older person going and sitting there was not very advisable to do that. But mistake happened anyway. So the point is that that giant wheel of goes and does, it will only stop when the money is finished. Then you can come out. And never again you look back to it again, to go back again on it again. Similarly, some of those things in the Alton Towers and places like that, the thing called cobra, isn't it? Goes like this and goes like that and throw you 2-3 times, it will throw you upside down and bring you back at the end. And if it's all a pleasure, according to some people. But when reflecting on that now, it's only foolishness to say, to go on that. Anyway, I'm coming to something else now. I was saying that was, similarly, we have bought a ticket here. Welcoming to this world. What's that ticket? Law of karma. Ticket of karma. It is with that ticket we had come here. And you can't just, it is like a giant wheel. You have sat on it. Already you are sitting on it. You can't jump out of it. You don't have any freedom. It's going on at the moment. So it is not possible to come out of it very easily. That is why Krishna is saying, with vijaram, vijara means reflection, it is possible. It's not, Krishna is not denying that. It is possible to come to that understanding and to escape from that wheel. From that wheel, karma. It is possible to escape. That is jnanamargam. That is jnanamargam. And when we have come to that perfect realization, you will know that all these things, karma doesn't exist, body doesn't exist, the results doesn't exist, nothing exists except the truth is only self, only the soul exists. Only the soul. Akhandam it is, uninterrupted, and that is Brahman. But Sachidanandam, as it is referred to, Satta Chitta Anandam. Full of bliss, full of knowledge, eternal. That is consciousness. Pure consciousness, in other words. Aham Brahmasmi. So, but today we can't live in that way because we still have this gross body and we haven't come out of that gross body identity. And here in this Araprakriti, Avaraprakriti, what Krishna is going to tell us is that that first step in that is this understanding how to free yourself from the grip of this body. But in order to come to that point, first thing we have to accept that my genuine interest, ultimate interest, lie in self-realization and not in the wealth what I make in this life, what I accumulate in this life. Only if that is clear inside, I will develop that intense desire for realization. Otherwise I won't. Isn't it? Otherwise I won't. Most of the people, what do? They'll say, I'm a householder now, I have to earn some money. And at the old age, I will think about all these things. Right now, I can't think that way. They will say like this openly. Some people, they don't want to hear anything about self-realization. They say, I got this body, I have to look after this body, now I have to work for it. And I have to earn my living and maintain this body. Some people will say that they accept all on a theoretical level, but they can't do anything about it because they are feeling strongly the grip of the body, mind and the society and everything on them. So it's only very, very few people who have broken this chain and has come to realize that this is the only truth. Which one? Self-realization is the only truth. That's very few. That's what Krishna is saying there. Matta paradaram na anyat kinjidasti dhananjaya. Mai sarvam idam prodam sutre maniganaiva. Krishna puts it in a very nice language, telling bluntly in front of us, he's saying then, mai sarvam idam prodam sutre maniganaiva. That means this whole thing, everything what you see here, there is a thread going through all that. That is Krishna, Brahman. That is the Krishna. At the moment, this separate. Everything is separate. Based on the name and the form, we are feeling that separation. Isn't it? And the separation. So, what Krishna is doing in this chapter, Knowledge of the Absolute, as it is titled, Krishna is saying to us, so many things don't exist. There's only one thing that exists. But coming to that one thing is not easy. To come to that realization. So therefore, all these things are spoken in a gradual way. So, so when we know, the first thing is, when we know, so therefore some of the words what Krishna is using in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhananjaya, like this. At the moment, our dhanam or wealth is all these things, bank balance or credit cards or checkbooks or assets or investment in the bank or investment in the shares or investments in the property or in gold, share market and things like that. That's where, why? That is where our bhakti is at the moment. Our bhakti is there. Nobody can deny that. When this bhakti in all these things, when it goes directs towards the self, realizing the self, then Krishna says that will change the situation. But so it's a big shift from one to another for all of us in that sense, isn't it? So it is because of that that even after hearing theoretically many things from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, most of our time in the life is still spent on acquiring wealth, isn't it? On acquiring wealth. So this one point requires deep reflection. This one point, deep reflection. These are different things for reflection. Reflection. To reflect that this is happening. Why is it happening to me? Because I still haven't got my priority right in my life. I am still, my faith is in the world. My faith is still in the wealth of this world. My faith is still in the family, society, and all other things. What I think is going protecting me in this world. This tussle is going through everybody's mind all the time, isn't it? That is why we are able to keep this connection with the world so strongly. Otherwise, we are gone. But then the question will come, how will I manage that? Isn't it? If I leave everything and go, what will happen? Yes, you do need money for these things, that you require money for buying the vegetables, for the rice, for the wheat, water, whatever you want to buy, you need money for all that. But what Krishna is saying to us is that these things, don't put your faith in them. You need them, but don't put your faith in them that is giving you the shelter, that is giving you the security in this world, that is giving you happiness. They are temporary things. They are temporary things. That is not Nitya Vastu. Nitya Vastu is the soul. Taking shelter of the soul and doing vyavaharam with the things in this world. This is the message from Krishna. Never to take shelter of things in this world and do vyavaharam with Krishna. We are doing it, even knowing it, we do it still. Why? Because we have not understood this tattvam behind it. That is the tattvam what Krishna is saying here to us. In vyavaharam, sometimes you will win, sometimes you will lose. You will lose. If you have taken shelter of the vyavaharam, then every time you lose, you will be very upset. And every time you win, you will be very happy also. This is the nature of vyavaharam, isn't it? Just to show to us how much faith we have in the vyavaharam. Whereas, if Krishna doesn't give us something, or something didn't happen in Krishna consciousness, we are not too disturbed about it, are we? Whereas we will be very disturbed if something else happens in our life. Just to make ourselves realize that where we stand in spiritual life. We stand in spiritual life. That Krishna's point is, Krishna is not for vyavaharam. Krishna is for shelter. Everything in this material world is for vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means for transactions, not for shelter. This one point, till it is completely accepted inside through mananam, this won't change. We can lecture hours and hours about everything. Nothing will happen. This is the reality. That's what Krishna is saying to us. That get these things clear in the head. You see, people always say that this you will common. I was all saying this also before. That in spiritual life, we just have to be sincere, we say. Isn't it? Many people say, oh, he's very sincere in spiritual life. Sincere is necessary, but sincerity alone is not sufficient. This is the first thing we have to understand. Always this question comes up in devotee's mind. He's so sincere, we say. Somebody, about someone will say, he's so sincere. No. Before sincere, there is something else. You have to know what's right and wrong. And then you have to be sincere towards the right thing. That means, in spiritual life, there are so many things allowed and not allowed, isn't it? So, when it comes to spiritual life, if we don't know what is the right thing to do, but we are doing things without knowing what is right and wrong, your sincerity is useless. That sincerity is useless. It has no meaning. It has no meaning. That is where Krishna's Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will come to us or help to tell us what is right and what is wrong. And because people had difficulty in understanding the subtle things in spiritual life, because spiritual life is all centered around the subtleties of life, isn't it? Therefore, the great sages, Yajnavalkya, Parashara, Vedavyas, and many other great personalities, they gave us what is known as Smriti. Smriti means Shruti. In order that to follow Shruti, you need the help of Smriti. That is, Shruti Smriti are together connected like that. Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam. That Shruti, suppose Shruti is given to you, all the Vedas and Upanishads handed over to you and told you that you live according to this, what is mentioned here. You won't. What will happen? You will bring your own mental concoctions into it and make the adharmic way. We will break all the morals and religious principles and we will start living our life the way we want to live. And that won't help you to realize the truth. That is why it says, Smriti was given to us for this reason. Smriti was given to us for this reason. All the great sages who gave us Upanishads, they gave us Smritis as well. Parashara Maharshi, Vedavyas Maharshi's father is famous. Parashara Smriti. Yajnavalkya Maharshi, Yajnavalkya Smriti is famous. Similarly, other Gautama Maharshi Smriti is there. And there is also Avastambam, there is another sage. So many sages, they have given Smriti also. Why? They knew very well that Upanishads alone is not sufficient. They require a certain guideline in life, how to live in a particular way so that you don't break the barriers and go and do things which are not allowed for a person to do, which will help you to understand Shruti. So that's how Smriti came in. So Smriti has come. So from there you can see that people, they come to spiritual life and then what happens? They find that there is shelter there in the form of wealth, in the form of various things. And then shelter has now gone to the wealth and the assets rather than Krishna then. Then Krishna becomes an object of transaction or vyavaharam, and assets and all become the shelter. Isn't it? You can see this. I mean, if you look into throughout the world, you will see this all the time happening. All the time happening. What happens is that person has lost it. He has lost it. The spiritual understanding has gone there. If you know that Krishna is not for vyavaharam, Krishna is for shelter, and everything else what is in this world for vyavaharam, if you have that clarity concept in this, then you won't get attached to all these things to that extent, because you know that's only for vyavaharam at the end, and whatever has to happen will happen, will come and go. That itself don't be. But now what's happening is, in almost many cases, it has come to this stage now, that whole shelter is in the property, assets, cash, wealth, everything. And Krishna has simply become an object of vyavaharam, transaction. When that stage comes, it is better to say goodbye there. There is no point in continuing that spiritual life anymore, because that is the very gross misrepresentations of Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, there itself. Edad yoni bhudani sarvani divadharaya aham krishnasya jagada prabhava pralayastatha. Everything has come from Krishna. Krishna is the source. Source means Brahman, Krishna, whichever way you address it, doesn't matter. So, after saying that, he says to him, so you can see here, as I mentioned also in the last Wednesday, people who are attached to wealth, they'll make money somehow. They'll find where they can make money. Everything they can turn into cash. Can take into money. That's very nature of that person. Why? All his bhakti is towards money. That's what it is. That's all it is. So Krishna mentions there, if you have that same bhakti towards the soul, like the way you have for the cash, then spiritual life gets very easy. Very, very easy. That's the point Krishna is saying here. That so that same smartness or cleverness, if we can show in Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means in spiritual knowledge. Krishna says here, you won't have any difficulty. He says this to Uddhava. But if you have not decided that, if you have not decided that in that way, you will be seeing something else in your life every time. You will see something different in life. In Tiruvannamalai, where Ramana Maharshi lived, there was a personality called Seshadri, a sannyasi-like person. Another realized personality, very learned, very realized soul. And he used to, these jnanis have got one nature. They wander around. Some of them will do according to the world, what the world follows. Some of them won't follow anything in this world. No rule, no law, nothing for them. They are completely independent. Because of their state of realization is like that. They have gone beyond this state of rules and regulations, everything. Realization has happened to them. So one person, he came to Seshadri and told him, instruct me Brahmapadesham, instruct me on Brahman. Give me the Upadesham, instructions to me, he said. So they will reply in a very strange way. He said to him, he told him that, you know, there's a kind of berries which they pickle, and that berries are very bitter. He says, eat that berry a lot. This was the answer. Now, normally a person, when you went there asking a very serious thing, asking that, I don't know what that berries are called. I don't know whether it grows here, but in India you'll see in different places that berry grows. People get that berries and they pickle them. It's a small size, almost smaller than this strawberries, and much smaller than that, very small, almost the size of chickpea-like thing. And they grow plenty, and it is very bitter, that berry. But they pickle it, and then it has some taste. People eat with the meal, food. So his answer, when he asked him, that eat these berries a lot, he said. And he gone away. He could not understand anything, what he was saying. Basically what he was saying was, you suffer a lot in life, then you will understand. Inquiry will begin. Because it's not something that you can ask and get it like that. From your own realization, it has to happen from inside. So that's all what he wanted to say. So these jnanis have this kind of reply they will give if you get to know them. If you go and ask something, they'll give you an answer like this. And that's also a problem, isn't it? So in one instance, what happened with him was that people used to come and they'll give him something. And many of the people knew that he had a very spiritually elevated state. Because the way he wanders around, just waiting for the body to drop. Basically, that's the state in which he is. Just waiting for the body to drop. So people know these things about him, but it's his peculiar behavior and his peculiar nature. They are so indifferent to the world in many ways. So one person goes up to him and gave him a nice shawl to him and told him that, Swamiji, I want to give this shawl to you, he said. But he was not so attracted by the shawl or anything. What he did was, there was one buffalo standing there. One buffalo was standing there. So when he gave the shawl, without thanking him, he says to him, look at that, what's that, he said to him. He said, it's a buffalo, he says. He says, it's a buffalo. He says, you stupid, tell me what that is, he says. He says, again, he says, it's a buffalo. Swamiji, it's a buffalo, he says. No. He says, what is it, he says. He says, it's a buffalo, he says. So he says to him, you are the buffalo, he says. That was his answer. He says to him, the buffalo doesn't know that it is a buffalo. That's it. This buffalo and I am this buffalo and all that is in our eyes. We are seeing it in that body, in that name we have given buffalo to it, and in that form of that body as buffalo. We call it as buffalo. In the realized state, he is not seeing it as buffalo. He is only seeing its Brahman there. Only if you are in that state, it's point in talking to you, as far as he is concerned. Seshadri is concerned, he is saying, it's no point in having any communication with you. You are giving me all this shawl and everything. So what does he do? He says to him, you are a buffalo, go away from here, he says to him. And he left. Then what did he do? He cut this nice, beautiful shawl into so many small pieces. And he hung it on the horns of the buffalo, on the tail a few pieces, in the throat a large piece, and let the buffalo wander around. So people started saying to Seshadri, says to him, Swamiji, why you are doing like this? After all, it was a very nice shawl. He has given it to you out of happiness. He has given it to you. He wanted to please you, he said. Swamiji says to him, yes, yes, yes. He has given it to me. Why? Because he has given it to me. He will go and tell others, the shawl Seshadri is wearing, I have given that. So that is what the idea behind it is. So I thought, let everybody see the shawl nicely. So I cut it into pieces and put it on the buffalo. This verse is answer. Now, when you see all these things, what will you think about it? You will think man must be little gone, isn't it? But no. If you understand this, then in spiritual life, what they are seeing is different than what we are seeing. We are looking at everything and seeing things based on our conditioning inside, isn't it? Based on our conditioning inside. And therefore, when we see jnanis, we won't understand them, whether they are jnanis or not, or they realize the truth or not. We can never say that. We don't have that capacity to know the truth. There are many, many instances this has happened. People always say, where will I find a jnani? And even if you find a jnani, will you recognize he is realized or not? Self-realization is like that. So once what happened was, a man came from Chennai to Trivannamalai, came by train to see this Seshadri Swami. Seshadri wanted to see him. So he got down from the train with his suitcase and everything. So Seshadri was standing there in the platform. He just wanted some cash. And Yanis knows your mind, why you have come, what for you have come, everything. So Seshadri goes up to him and asked him a little cash. Those days it was Anna, they call it, 4 annas or something they call it. That was long back. Now there is rupees and pice and all that, but then there was annas there. So he goes up to him and asks this person he didn't know it was Seshadri, and Seshadri knew that person very well. He has come all the way from Chennai with the train, traveled overnight with the suitcase, everything. He went to Trivannamalai to find out to Seshadri to see him. He had some distress in his life he was experiencing. So he wanted to see a soul, realized personality, and talk to him about his distress in life. He replied, this person, this guest, he said, you look so young, why can't you do some work in this world? It's the usual answer, like we all say, isn't it? Why don't you do some work and coming and begging instead of coming and begging like this? Seshadri says to him, okay, go, get lost. He said, and he went away from there. He went to the temple, the guest. He goes to the temple. And in Trivannamalai, if you go into the temple, on the left-hand side, there is a deity of Subramanyam. Deity is there. It's called Kampanar Kovil. It's called Kampanar Kovil. Kampanar Kovil means, Subramanyam appeared in that place at one instance. When Arunagiri Nathar spoke about glorified Subramanyam in that place, and the king was actually trying to punish Arunagiri Nathar for some of his activities in the past, but he was a great devotee. So the place where he glorified Subramanyam, in the presence of the king about Subramanyam, Subramanyam appeared, and there is a deity of Subramanyam there. And it is a small shrine away from the main temple, in one corner. It's called Kampanar Kovil. So that's where Seshadri Swami used to sit there. So when he came to the temple, those days it was like that, you go in, and he came by rickshaw from the station, with his suitcase and everything, and then he wanted to find out where Seshadri was. So somebody said that is where he is always. Normally he is always there. If you go there, you will find him there, he said. So he went there looking for him. When he got there, he asked those pujaris who were there doing the worship in that temple, "Is Yashadri here?" He said, "He was just here, just left a few minutes ago," he said. So then he asked, "Where will I find him now?" "Oh, he doesn't go very far. There's one lady who prepares some prasadam there. Normally, no, he goes there for his meals and he has his prasadam there. If you go there, I'm sure you will find him there." He left this small place, temple, and went to that lady who was preparing meals and selling them. So he used to walk in there and eat what he wanted, and he used to walk away from there. And the lady never used to say anything to him. He had so much freedom in him. So our guest who was looking for Seshadri went there. When they got there, they told him, the ladies who were there preparing food, they told him he was just there, just he left. He said, "Few minutes ago, he has gone. He was gone a few minutes ago, he has just left." So where will they go? Where would have been? Where would he be now? You can only inquire like this, isn't it? And so they said that we can never say about him. He'll be wandering around in the street somewhere. He doesn't go very far anyway. So then it is very difficult to pinpoint and tell you where he will be. But just to ask somebody in the street, somebody will find it out. Went to the street and asked someone about Seshadri. Have you seen Seshadri? "Just a few minutes ago, we saw him going towards the hill for pradakshinam, for the parikrama. We saw him going that way," he said. So he went in that direction looking for him, walked around quite a lot of distance, couldn't find him. Ultimately, while coming through, coming return way, there was a cave there. And in that Tirunamalai hills, there are so many caves and so many places people go for meditation and performing different kinds of austerities there. It's from long, long time, it's like that. So when he's finished all his walking around and he came out and the last cave, he asked somebody, "Did Seshadri come this way?" "He was here just a few minutes ago, he left here," I said. So like these 3-4 days, he was continuously wandering around looking for Seshadri. Every time he goes to a place, he says, "He's just left, he's just left, he's just left." This was the answer. At that time, this person started realizing there's something wrong somewhere. "I must have done something wrong." He started feeling very intensely inside. He couldn't figure out what he has done wrong. This is how, what I'm saying all this thing is, spiritual life is controlled by Krishna. If Krishna wants, everything will happen like this. If it's not happening, there is a reason behind it. Why it's not happening? Ultimately, he went into front of inside the temple room, into the Tirunamalai famous Shiva temple, sat there and started crying. 4 days have gone. He couldn't meet Seshadri yet, for which he had come. Everybody had told him Seshadri is at the temple all the time, but he can't find him. Wandered in the marketplace, wandered in the hills everywhere, can't find him. Why? Why? He started thinking, and he started feeling intense pain inside. "I have done something. I have offended Lord Shiva or the devotee. Somewhere I have committed some mistake," said. And he cried and cried, and then in complete desperate situation he came out of the temple. And then he again asked someone, "Is Seshadri anywhere? Have you seen?" This was the 4th or 5th day this happened. They said, "Look at him. That there he is standing," he said. Seshadri was standing there. When he went there, what was happening? Seshadri was standing there, surrounded by a lot of people. And he was talking to all of them. And when he looked at him, he realized it was the same person who asked him for a few coins when he boarded from the train, when he got down from the train. He was so apologetic for what he said. And he has come to see him. And these 4 or 5 days, they made him to roam around like this. And after that, Seshadri gave him the audience to listen to him. And all he had to tell Seshadri was to apologize for what the offense he has done. Seshadri told him at that time, "This is the problem to you wealthy people," he said, "that you think that everything you can buy with money." Seshadri wanted to wake him up and to tell him that truth, everything you can buy with money. And if we get that consciousness inside, we will think that we can buy Krishna also with money. This thought will develop in a very subtle level. It will develop inside. And that is why Krishna is saying to us, in the next verse you will see many things Krishna is going to tell us about it. That after talking about this, he says, therefore, he says, that you, when you have not seen Krishna in this world, you are only seeing Shiva is sitting in the temple or Krishna is sitting at the temple. There's nothing happening in the world. I can do what I want to do. This is our consciousness at the moment, isn't it? Independently, I'm so independent in my thinking. I have no realization inside. All I've understood is that I have to do something in the temple. But outside the world, in my business, I can do what I want, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying. It is not like that. Matta paradharam na anyat. Nothing else exists except me, Krishna is saying. When Krishna is saying it's except me, it means that only spirit exists. Matta paradharam na anyat. Kinchid asti dhananjaya. Because I am present in everyone. Mai sarvamidam pradam sutraya manigana yuva. Just like a thread is going through all the pearls in this garland, similarly, Krishna is going through each one of us like a thread. And this recognition is important in spiritual life, while we have to deal with other people. Because if we start thinking that, oh, he is a gone case, lost case, and reject everyone, and only Krishna is in the temple, only there Krishna is to be worshipped, that is a very lower level of understanding. And so therefore you will see something from here that Krishna is like the cinema, isn't it? Just like in the dream state, the person who is seeing the dream, this is the example given. Just like in the dream state, the person who is seeing the dream is independent, isn't it? You know that, isn't it? In dream, we create the dream first. In our dream, everything is happening. For example, I go and sleep tonight. Suppose I see this room with every one of us in the dream. Who create that? I create that. From myself, it comes, isn't it? In all of you are sitting there, I am speaking. The mic is there, the table is there, deities are there, books are there, and I'm speaking, and separately I'm standing and watching everything. That is why when you finish up, come out of the dream, it is that witness who is saying, because he is seeing me speaking and somebody listening and hearing, all these things are witnessed by that separate person. Svapna Drashtava it is called. It's called Drashtava. Drashtava means one who is seeing that. So, similarly, in everything in this world, what we are doing, what we are thinking, what we are carrying out here, there is a Drashta, there is a Siya. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Matta paradaram nanyan kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mai sarvamidam prodam sutraya manigana iva. Otherwise, that verse won't make any sense, will it? Why did Krishna say this? This is what we have to think. When we are discussing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita won't tell you, but it is up to us to reflect and think, why did Krishna say this like that? That I am present in all living entities. Only for one reason, that he is the witness of everything what is going on here. We forget that. That's where the problem comes, isn't it? Mai sarvamidam prodam sutraya manigana iva. That I am like a thread going through all the pearls in a garland. Krishna says, I am present there. Matta paradharam na anyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. That Krishna's oneness, that Krishna's present in everyone, that if we accept and come to terms with it, then it helps a lot of our life in this world. It's no point thinking that studying all the offenses from the book, 20 offenses or 40 offenses, and saying that if somebody asks you, Prabhu, what are all the offenses against Vaishnavas, then you start repeating all the 40 what you have learned. That is not good enough. As far as Krishna is concerned, this is what is expected of us. That is okay if you want to run a course or seminar, that's fine. But that's not good enough. As far as Krishna is concerned, matta paradaram na anyat,
కించిదస్తి ధనంజయ మయి సర్వమిదం ప్రోదం సూత్రే మణిగణా ఇవ. యాజ్ మచ్ యాజ్ యూ సీ మీ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ పర్సన్ జస్ట్ లైక్ ఎ థ్రెడ్ గోయింగ్ త్రూ ఆల్ ద పర్ల్స్ ఇన్ ద గార్లండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ దట్ థ్రెడ్ దట్ ఈస్ లింకింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ సిమిలర్లీ ఆల్ దిస్ క్రియేషన్ ఎవ్రి లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ ఈస్ కనెక్టెడ్ లైక్ ఎ థ్రెడ్ త్రూ ఎ థ్రెడ్ అండ్ దట్ థ్రెడ్ ఈస్ కృష్ణ అండ్ దట్ రియలైజేషన్ ఈస్ మోర్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ దాన్ ఆల్ అదర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ యూ క్యాన్ ఆన్ అ వన్ టు వన్ బేసిస్ యూ క్యాన్ బ్రింగ్ ఆల్ దిస్ వాట్ డు దే కాల్ ఇట్ ది offenses and etiquette and all that. That's okay. That you can do whatever you want to do with your courses and seminars. That's fine. But when it comes to, this is what I'm saying, when you study Bhagavad Gita, if you do not see the spirit behind what Krishna is talking about, each verse, you won't see the depth of that verse. It will simply becomes on the surface otherwise. But in the deeper level, Krishna is pointing out to us that mai sarvamidam prodam sutraya manigana iva, that it is me that thread in everyone, connecting all of us in this world. Doesn't matter Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Sikh, whatever, doesn't matter. Birds, bees, animals, aquatics, plants, trees, wherever there is life in this, there is a link there. Krishna is present there in some form. In his presence is to be recognized. Therefore, it says, there is nothing exists in this world except Krishna. Nothing else exists here. In this Vishwam, in creation, nothing else, no other, nothing. This is why in the Upanishad says, Ishavasam idam sarvam. That cover everything with Krishna. This is that coverage. Ishavasam idam sarvam, yat kinja jagatyam jagat. Jagat is nothing but Krishna's another form. That's all we have to understand. If you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's Krishna's another form is this world. Another form is this world. So, my sarvam idam prodam ahameva jagat karanam ityartaha. It says here that the person who is seeing, witnessing the dream is the same person, all the objects that is in the dream. He himself has expanded. Just, I hope you understand, isn't it? In the dream state you can see this. You are seeing everyone. They are not there, but you are seeing them. So who are they? They came from you, from inside, from the soul. That's the power of the soul. Soul can manifest in this way. I will observe everyone there at that time. But somebody is witnessing all that. That is what it is saying here. So, so there is nothing exist except Krishna in this world. So saying that, if you go into that, he says here that my sarvam idam prodam, it mentions here that the sarvam idat jagat prodam anusyudam anugadam anuvidham grahitam iti arthaha. That means anusyudam, continuously somebody is witnessing. Anusyudam anugadam, and he is with everything what is going on here. In every action what we perform, he is witnessing. Just imagine how tightly everything is controlled from Krishna's side. Anusyudha means continuously, all times, all states. Suppose you are in Jagrat, Swapnam or Sushupti, doesn't matter. In all the three states, he is there watching us. Watching means that he is witnessing it, everything. He's there with us. Anusyudam. Anugadam. Everything what you are doing here is always noticed. Nothing is done. Anuviddam grahidam ityartaha. And if you want to stay outside Krishna to do anything, without Krishna's notice, you can't do it. You can't do it. Dirga tandushu padavat sutrecha manigana iva. That is the commentary. Dirga tandueshu padavat. Dirga tandueshu means that just like the cloth is woven with in one direction like this, otapratham it's called. Similarly, cloth is nothing but thread, isn't it? You have got it together, woven in a particular way, and it became cloth. Similarly, Krishna is saying this whole thing, dirga tandushu padavar,
That means, pada means cloth. And how the thread is present in the cloth. Nothing else is present in the cloth except the thread. Isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is saying, if you can see in this creation, which is the cloth, Krishna's presence like the thread, then you have got it. Then you have, that's the way we should see the creation. Krishna is saying that. Dirga Tandi, my Sarvavidam Prodam Hameva Jayatkaram Sutra Manigana Iva. So, it all depends on the thread. The cloth depends on the thread. If you remove the cloth, there is no cloth. Is there? There is no cloth. Similarly, if you try to see this world keeping Krishna out of it, separate from that, you cannot say anything about the world. You cannot say anything about the world. So, after saying this, with this verse, from now on, in this chapter, what Krishna is going to say is that, example by example, he is going to tell us what he is. Example by example, he is going to tell us what he is from now on. Taking individual cases and keep telling us, that's me, that's me. So, in what form Krishna is present in all these things? That's the question that will come. So we'll just read that verse and stop it today. Rasoham apsu kaundeya.
Rasoham apsu kaundeya.
That's a minute. Prabhasmi. Prabhasmi shashi suryayoho.
Pranava
sarvavedeshu. Shabdhake paurusham rishum. Rasoham apsu kaundeyam.
Rasoham apsu kaundeyam.
Prabhasmi shashi
suryayoh.
Pranava sarvavedeshum. Shabdhake paurusham rishum. Rasoham apsu kaundeya. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayoho Pranavaha Sarvavedeshu Shabdaha Khe Paurusham Mrushu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantra. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. So, we'll discuss that next tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.